This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening to you for Wednesday, June 19th, 2013. My name is Dr. Doug Kelly, here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Doug. I'm looking forward to tonight's show.
Yes, we're getting close to the solstice here in a couple of days, so since this show is scheduled most closest to it, is that a correct grammar, most closest? We are doing our rite of signature for the northern solstice tonight. We'll be doing that here in a little bit. Preceding that, we're going to do our profession of beliefs, and we're also going to take a look at a few bits and pieces of metaphysical news, so we'll get to that. Metaphysical Universe is a weekly service and educational program of the Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this weekly program, we also operate the Metaphysics Institute, or as it's more accurately known, the Institute of Metaphysical Humanistic Science. We offer bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in metaphysics, with a variety of specializations available, including spiritual counseling, life coaching, holistic healing, paranormal science, hypnosis. There's several of them there. For more information, visit metaphysicsinstitute.org. Or if you'd like to just take a standalone course, a single certificate course, or certification course, we offer those on our sister site at newageclass.com. For our profession of beliefs, the spiritual philosophy of MCHS Church is based upon 9 principles of belief. These principles of belief are, number 1, as sentient and evolving human beings, we not only believe in practicing and living by the principle do no harm, but also in the principle of do right, thus enhancing the vibrational level of humanity. Number 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit to ultimately triumph in the face of any dilemma. The answers we seek already exist within us. Number 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems, and believe the roots of those solutions lie in exploring, understanding, and empowering the human condition. Number 4, we embrace the differences that make all human beings unique, recognizing that we all come from star material and are therefore equal, irrespective of heritage, beliefs, gender, or gender preference. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. Number 5, rather than a supreme being, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. Number 6, we believe the nature of a human being encompasses both a physical and spiritual aspect, and that human consciousness survives the death of the physical body in a coherent fashion. Thus, death opens a new chapter of life and conducts the individual into a higher state of existence. Number 7, we believe in self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will, and that these 3 synergistically create the goal of self-completeness. Number 8, we believe in the value of practical education in metaphysics, metapsychology, and life skills as a means of empowering the human spirit and enhancing the human condition. We maintain an open but grounded mind to potential realities as yet undescribed by science. Number 9, we believe that discovering the true nature of consciousness in human existentialism will ultimately have a positive impact on human evolution and peaceful coexistence. For more information on these 9 principles of belief, as well as MCHS Church, please visit mchschurch.org. Okay, so that is our profession of beliefs. I'm being summoned here.
Apparently, I'm not getting my Blog Talk Radio sound through either, Doug, and neither is our audience, according to Shirley.
Okay, let's find out from everybody else. Let me type it in.
Yes.
We'll find out. We'll wait just a second here. Everything on the switchboard looks good. Everything appears to be good. Let me check. Yep, we're connected through Blog Talk.
Well, let's see.
Nobody else has mentioned anything. So all I can say is have her refresh her page. the usual stuff. So we're going to continue on.
Yep.
Tonight we are going to take a look at a few stories from Metaphysical News, and then we're going to get into our rite of signature for the Northern Solstice in just a few minutes. So let's talk about some Metaphysical News.
Oh, well, we have a little bit of a news lineup. You know, Doug, I want to update. Last month, we did a story on how, the Boy Scouts of America made a big decision to not ban young gay youth from the Boy Scouts. Of course, you know, the Southern Baptists got way up in arms about that. And the story is just taking its own spin. And now there's, of course, Catholic Church, of course, we know their stand on it. But this is just snowballing right into, like other states. But in Fort Worth, Texas, they've decided to pull their efforts out of the Catholic Church in there, has decided to take their efforts away from the Boy Scouts of America. So what they're doing, these very rigid, you know, Christian groups are taking a stand against the Boy Scouts and not allowing, you know, free meeting rooms and taking back all their support, which, by the way, equates to a lot of money, I might say, for these young boys. But this, I got to tell you, this Monsignor E. James Hart, and he told his parishioners, get this, that he didn't feel putting gay and straight boys in the same tents on an overnight campout. It is just, he says it's too risky. And then he adds, would you have me run the risk and use the souls of boys involved, some of them likely your sons and grandsons, as part of the experiment? I cannot. I will not. And of course, in complete preacher form. Now, this is out of hand, and it's absolutely ridiculous. And I would hope that other more sensible organizations would step up and give the Boy Scouts of America just wads of money, wads and wads and wads of money, and not be dependent on any religious organization for their efforts in helping, you know, young boys and young men, because it's just crazy. So anyway, that's the update to that story. And it seems that there's other groups, you know, it basically it's a ripple effect, and now everybody's trying to, you know, make a point. And the point being, you know, what they feel is a religious stand, you know, a family kind of stand, but now they're also taking it into a financial stand, which is, in my view, more what it's all about. And, you know, and the Catholic Church being worried about boys, to me, is just an oxymoron. And, of course, I could just get on a huge, big soapbox here, Doug, for what the Church has done, mm-hmm. you know, with regard to children. So, anyway, that's an update to what we were talking about, you know, last week. So, or last month when we were doing our Metaphysical News. So, you know, this is a social issue. It is, we take the stand that none of this ought to be a discussion anyway, but it is a discussion, and it affects the lives of every human being on this planet when people are passing this kind of judgment, making decisions about how people can run their lives. And, okay, now yep. I'll get down off my box.
Okay, because, now I'll get up on mine.
Okay, I love your box, too. You know, that soapbox.
Right, that's a good box. You know, we've talked in the past about doing no harm, do right. And we've talked about that. And there are times when doing the right thing means exposing unhealthy belief systems. And not with a an intent of malice or anything, but just to bring them out. Sometimes, you know, the righteous indignation can come into play, and so it's in this vein that I want to make a couple of comments. Number one, on this whole Boy Scouts thing, it's hypocritical to me for Christianity to object to that when they do not object to other things that are also prohibited in the Bible. For example, Jesus said, "My kingdom is not part of this world." That means that any Christian church who condones fighting worldly wars is going against what Jesus said. Not to mention, you must love your neighbor as yourself. So there's a lot of hypocrisy. There's a lot of picking and choosing that goes along with this stuff. And they don't realize what they do to people, because it's all in the name of, you know, the good Lord, who really doesn't exist anyway. Now, let's go on to another little bit of a story. Maybe you caught it. About Pat Robertson, who basically is telling us that disobedient wives must be spanked. Now, there might be some wives out there who says, oh, yay-hoo, that's great. But we're not talking about in that sense. And I'm just going to read this article to you. It's not very long. If you just look up, for those listening to the archive, do a search for Pat Robertson, disobedient wives must be spanked. You'll find it. I'm going to put the link in the chat room for those of us. And now I'm getting the site that I'm on wants to take me to other things. So give me one second to go back. All right. So this is what he says. This is the article. Christian television personality Pat Robertson stoked controversy today by telling a female caller that disobedient wives should be spanked by their husbands. This story, by the way, is dated June 17th, 2013, a couple of days ago. On a segment on the long-running 700 Club, the 83-year-old Robertson explained to a woman seeking relationship advice that an occasional slap in the rear is the clearest path to marital bliss. Quote, quote, ma'am, with all due respect, it seems like the problem in your marriage is disobedience, he told the caller. Quote, when a wife disobeys her husband, the holy bond between the two starts to disintegrate and all sorts of problems start to crop up. The Apostle Paul tells us in Corinthians the importance of submission, and when you lose that submission in a marriage, there's only one solution, a sound spanking on the bottom. Wives must be spanked by their husbands. It's the only way to keep biblical order. Nothing too hard, just enough to let her know he's the one in charge. So I have to ask, when was your last spanking, dear? Okay, so that's what Robertson said. Now, the woman, who had called for advice about her husband's serial infidelity, was shocked by Robertson's question and responded angrily, quote, excuse me, she admonished. I ask you how to confront my husband over his cheating, and you tell me to get spanked? My husband's never spanked me. I would never let that happen. And what kind of crazy chauvinistic mummy would even suggest such a thing? Do you ever think before you speak, or are you trying to sound like an outdated male pig? And now Robertson jumps in. You see, that's exactly the kind of attitude that tells me you're not getting the discipline you need at home, Robertson retorted. If your husband kept you in line, you wouldn't have such a mouth on you, sweetheart. I know you're confused with all the feminism, lesbianism, and vegetarianism in our culture, but God made woman to do three things: obey men, have babies, and cook meat. So stop worrying about what your husband is up to and just get back to the basics. And that's pretty much the end of the article. So...
Well, now, didn't Oral Robertson get into a lot of trouble some years ago, losing his mind?
No, that's we're referring to Pat Robertson.
I know, Oral but Roberts. Isn't like he losing his mind just like the other guy? Well, like, isn't there something really?
No, they're not losing their mind. They lost their mind. Let's talk about this whole issue, because, you know, obvious, it's ludicrous. It's just ridiculous to the nth degree, but. This is what Christianity teaches you, and it's not just Christianity, it's Islam and others too. But let's focus on Christianity. You know, that the wife is supposed to be submissive. Now, one of the things my students learn from me in the degree program is that we don't do submissive around here. Submissive is not good. We do deference. Now, partners in a marriage are equal partners, man and woman, man and man, woman and woman, whatever. They're equal partners. There is no submission, but there can be deference. So, for example, my wife Tracy and I will have a discussion about something. Maybe we want to do something, do a project, fix something, make something, whatever it is. We'll have a discussion, and I might come up with ideas. She might come up with ideas. Well, which ideas take hold? Well, you know, it's the better idea. We have a healthy relationship, so we can have that discussion. And there are times when I said, you know, I like your idea better. I'm going to defer. And I don't actually use those terms, but that's what I'm doing. And there are times when I want to do something, perhaps respond to something in a certain way, and she'll mention her point of view on it, and I realize, you know what, she's got it right. And so I defer to her better judgment or her better experience, and vice versa. So we don't do submission. We don't do submissiveness, just like we don't do sin and all that other hogwash. And so for him to tell a woman whose husband is cheating on her, betraying the trust, which is the worst thing you can do in a partnership like that, you know, to just go back into the kitchen, you know, cook, clean, do your womanly things, and tell your husband you want to be spanked because you need discipline, that kind of stuff. It's just, honestly, do we need to even say anything about it? It's beyond belief ridiculous. So what's the alternative? The alternative, for those of you who are ready, is to get out of it, to leave that, because that whole mindset is unhealthy. Christianity is an unhealthy mindset. It is built on codependence. It's built on myth. It's built on
fear.
Imagination. Well, it's fear as well. Fear manipulation, you know. It's built on emotional blackmail. You better do it this way or you're going to die. You're going to burn in hell. You're not going to get to heaven. It's all emotional blackmail. It is exactly what it is. You know, I don't care how you slice it and dice it, how you want to sweet sugarcoat it. It is emotional blackmail. So what's a better healthy system? MCHS Church. You're not going to find a more healthy spiritual belief system than the nine principles of belief, which I just read a few minutes ago. If you want to read more about that, go to mchschurch.org. They're right there on the main page. You can't get healthier than that. So I wanted to point out those things.
You know, Doug, and Camille just said it in the chat room, what frightens her is that, you know, this Pat Robertson has followers. And that's, here's the thing, people are seeking, they're looking for something. They want to be a part of a family, a human family. And fearfully, because we have been so entrenched in, you know, with church and state, no divisions most of the time, that they gravitate toward that. And it's the people. You see, it's anything where people feel like they're going to be saved, looked after, and right away you become subservient.
Yeah.
And then when somebody like this fellow preaches that women particularly should be subservient, all people should be subservient to God and Jesus, and then to Pat Robertson, and then, you know, if you're really good, then you know, it's husbands
husband,
will have,
yeah, don't worry
yeah
about
you know,
that.
And you know, I want to say even what I had heard of, you know, some time ago was what they call the Brides of Christ in the Mormon Church, and that just puts me over the edge because women before they get married take classes in how to be married to Christ before they're married to their husband. You know, it's just there's something integrally wrong here, and I understand completely how people want to be a part of a human family and live in a good way. But mm-hmm. there has to be some critical thinking, some very sensible critical thinking, and to look around and just to open your mind. And yes, absolutely, mchschurch.org. But even then, Doug, it's how can we enter discussion without trespassing on the Christian's belief. You know, we got our own podium here. This is our,
yeah.
You know, this is our house.
That's right.
And we can say what we choose to in this house. And we're not meaning to, you know, degrade or demean or dehumanize anybody except that we have a consciousness that needs to wake up.
Yes. And if you happen to be a Christian or a follower of Pat Robertson, I doubt that anybody would be listening to this program who does follow him, but if you happen to, you know, or any other evangelist or, you know, Christian, it's time to grow up. It's time to get past that. It's time to outgrow the need for anything outside of yourself to save you. It takes time. And most Christians would think, you know, of course they already think I'm a heretic and apostate and all that stuff. Doesn't matter. The fact is that it's time to grow up. It's time for the human race to grow up. Because this religious stuff is what fuels our wars. It fuels hatred. It fuels racism. It fuels prejudice against women and violence against women and others. So enough said on this one. We need to get to our other stories so we got time to do our
absolutely
ceremony.
Well, you know, speaking of intelligence, here's a great comparison. I want to talk about dolphins, Doug.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk about dolphins.
That's a good point.
And look for, I know it sounds, you know, boy, is she ever going out there wanting to talk about dolphins. But, you know, a story has been flying around in and around January. Some divers were asked for help by a dolphin. Now, think about that, everybody.
In a manner of speaking.
Yeah. They were divers off Hawaii, taking pictures, doing their thing, and this dolphin kept returning. Now, if you do Google dolphin ask divers for help, you'll come up with all kinds of links. The footage is absolutely extraordinary. It takes my breath away. But this dolphin had a fishing line and a hook stuck to a fin, and it kept leaning up against the divers. And when they realized that the dolphin was asking for help, you know, and this is a wild creature in the ocean, and we got to think about that. It's asking for help. It's sending out a signal, can you help me? So the diver right away started, you know, cutting this line off and trying to get the hook out. The dolphin left, went back up for air, and then came back to the divers and allowed the divers and would turn its body so that the divers could, you know, help him. Once they felt that they had done everything that they could, and then it showed a gratitude and left. Now, this, to me, it shows such an extraordinary bond in our connection with life, and that there are life forms, all kinds of life forms, that have measures of intelligence for cooperation, for coexistence. And thankfully, these divers didn't show fear. In fact, you know, this is part of their jobs, too. They just didn't expect to help a dolphin. But they could connect with it and read the body language and the signals and not be afraid. And human beings have had this need to have power over nature. And it is time, high time, that we start paying more attention to these kinds of stories to see the example that's being set for us in nature and how to be a coexisting life force on the planet. And that's why I thought the story was so beautiful and amazing, that where do we take our lead? You know, where do we take our, you know, who mentors us better than nature herself? So, you know, that's certainly my view. Which lends into one of the last things that we're going to talk about, because I came across this story that I think, to me, it kind of flows with the topic that clapping reveals applause. This is a headline out of BBC News, by the way, and it just came out June 18th. Clapping reveals applause is a social contagion. Now, I'm just going to just reduce this to Reader's Digest version. They're saying that it's not necessarily the performance that measures the amount of applause from an audience. It's actually it's a chain reaction of the people. So the more applause and the longer the applause, the more people will continue to applaud. But it only takes one or two to stop applauding, and then the audience kind of slowly stops applauding. But if somebody starts up again, then the applaud comes up again. But they have figured out that in some way, by studying audiences, that it really has no relevance to the performance that they've been watching at all, which is fascinating. You don't... Good one, Doug.
Yeah, we...
Because this is where we're sheep, in a way, aren't we? You know, by osmosis, we take on energy.
Well, and then you wonder about the standing ovations. You know, all it takes is for one, maybe two, to stand up, and then everybody stands. And
you know, in theater, one of the measures of a good standing ovation is when it starts at the back and moves forward. But if people in the front stand up first, everybody's trying to stand up to see over them.
Oh.
So a standing ovation that's relatively genuine will start at the back of a crowd and kind of wave forward. You know, there was a, and I wrote about this and set a link in the Metaphysical Parenting course about the ASH experiment. And, you know, jump in here at any time, Doug. But it was done many years ago and really indicated how people will adjust their view of something because the group has said something else. And basically, if I tell you that this is blue, you know, if you hold up a blue card, for instance, and everybody say, okay, what color is this? And, you know, 10 people in a room say, no, it's green. And you know it's blue, but you'll say green anyway to be a part of the group.
And I'm sure that doesn't work with everybody, but it's really part of the I'm Special syndrome. You know, the need for external validation is them esteem. I only feel good about myself when other people think I'm doing the right thing, when other people think I'm saying the right thing or agreeing with them. It's all part of them esteem. But
and fear pressure and the fear of persecution, I'm sure, is part of that.
Well, it's all part of them esteem, because if you validate yourself, if you have self-esteem, in other words, internal expectations and internal validation, then you could say, no, the color is red all day long, regardless of how many people say it's green or blue. And that really comes back down to our core values, right? We need to stand up for our principles. We need to know who we are and why we are who we are. And it doesn't matter what other people think of us. You know, we know who we are, and we stand for what we stand for, and we have to stand tall and strong.
Which lends to the do right, mm-hmm. you know, do no harm, mm-hmm. and do right, do the right thing, and stick by your principles. Like, if you don't want to clap, don't clap. If you want to clap, keep clapping. But it is because you feel that, and not to be afraid of setting yourself apart from the crowd, and that's genuinely being who you are.
Mm-hmm.
So,
all right. So let's talk about the rite of cynosure for the northern hemisphere or northern solstice rite. This is a celebration that we do in June for the northern solstice and in December for the southern solstice, and we do it as an opportunity to kind of take a snapshot. Where are we? You know, we look back. Where have we come over the last few months? We did the equinox for March here 3 months ago and did a similar type of a look back. Well, you know, where are you at right now? How far have you come? How are your goals doing? Are you living your dream? Are you getting closer to living your dream? You know, what's changed so far this year? Here we are pretty much halfway through the year. You know, can't believe it's already been halfway through the year. It's gone so fast, but how are we different today than we were 6 months ago? You know, how are you different? What have you done? What have you accomplished? What triumphs or victories have you had? Have you had any setbacks? And then, of course, we look forward. What do you want to get done over the next 3 to 6 months? You know, what goals?
You know, Doug, this is a supermoon. And what that means is the full moon, of course, is coming up in the next couple of days. But this full moon is not only the closest and the largest full moon of this year, it also represents, and I'm reading quote-unquote, it also represents the moon's closest encounter with Earth for all of 2013. It will not be so close again until August of 2014. So it's not just a super moon, meaning just like really big. It's the closest super moon. So, you know, there's all these different technologies. But apparently it's significant, and astrologers would say that this is a pretty energetic moon. And, of course, I haven't done all the study of the planets and stuff. But
that fits right in with cynosure. You know, the word cynosure simply means something that strongly attracts attention by its brilliance, etc., something serving for guidance or direction. So we're kind of using the equinoxes and solstices to check where we're at, to look within for the answers, to make sure that our light is shining brightly for the world to see in an effort to leave the wood pile higher than we found it in an effort to make a positive impact on the world, on those within our sphere of influence. So, a good analogy. Now, the way that our rites and ceremonies work is we have a script that's been prepared. It's covered by two MCHS ministers, which happens to be myself and Dr. Vicky, and we're going to go through this ceremony, this rite, and if you have a candle, it would be great. You can participate in that part of it because the candle is, or the fire, that is symbolic of and is used in this particular rite. In fact, all of them, we use it. So we're going to do this ceremony right now. So if you'll, as we go through it, pay careful attention to the words, what they mean to you, what they mean to your past, to your future, and to who you are. And even as you do, take a deep breath and just focus on the candlelight and just allow some of these concepts to just take hold and get you thinking. That's a big part of it. So, without any further ado, shall we begin?
Absolutely. And we begin with the lighting of the flame.
With the lighting of the flame, we commence the rite of cynosure for the northern solstice, the time of year in which the sun is at its northernmost point on the celestial sphere directly over the Tropic of Cancer. This is the summer solstice in the northern hemisphere and the winter solstice in the southern hemisphere. We invite all those who are able to now join us in lighting the ceremonial flame.
Through the universe, of which I'm a part, beats the energy of life and into my heart. A flame of fire lights up my soul with will and desire for the world to know. The energy of life beats through my heart and through the universe of which I'm a part.
With the lighting of the flame, we symbolically transfer the fire of our spirit to a visual representation that we can see and feel. For in this way, we are reminded of the power of this fire, the power of our spirit, the fire of our passion to fulfill our unique and individual purpose, the passion of our spirit to do no harm and to do right, the never-ending light and warmth contained within us that honors the divine nature of all life and regards all sentient life as equal, having one common origin in the stuff of stars. We are one planet and one race, with one ancestry and one destiny.
Connectedness.
The energy of our unfettered consciousness creates an expanded awareness of the profound connection that we have to one another, to all divine life, to Mother Earth, and to the universe. We pause in grateful acknowledgement of the universal consciousness that connects and unites us all. We take a moment of silence in honor, remembrance, and appreciation for the interdependent relationships we have with those closest to us and with all living things.
Responsibility.
We are connected to all things, and yet we are one. And in each one of us lies the indomitable power of the human spirit to ultimately prevail in the face of any dilemma, to rise above any obstacle, to triumph over any challenge. We recognize the inherent responsibility we have as a race of adept beings to resolve the challenges before us and acknowledge that this is as it should be.
Self-completeness.
Cynosure is a light, a guide, a star. As the moon is the cynosure during the season of longer nights and the sun is the cynosure during the season of longer days, we are attracted to and guided by the cynosure of the divinity within us. In our darkest hour, we are comforted and strengthened by the brilliant star imbued within our human spirit. As the flame before us is complete within itself and needs no other spark to sustain it, we too are complete within ourselves and need no other spark to sustain us. The synergy of self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. We need nothing nor anyone outside ourselves, for the answers we seek already exist within us. Our flame, our star, our cynosure is within. We look there.
Equilibrium.
During the solstice season, we seek to reconcile the things unequal, to recalibrate the things unbalanced, to recenter our consciousness and awareness, to realign our thoughts with the fulfillment of our individual and unique purpose. We draw from the cycles, phases, and rhythms of the universe that continue in perfect harmony from time immemorial. We attune the cycles, phases, and rhythms inherent in our own inner universe that they may serve our highest good, and that we may serve others for their highest good in the spirit of do no harm and do right. So the one, so the other, so our purpose, so our life. Equilibrium is renewed.
Positive consciousness.
In our innermost thoughts, in our heart of hearts, we strive toward positive consciousness, harboring ill will toward no form of life. So the energy within, so the energy without, so the one, so the many. We possess conscious awareness of the universal mind, the universal consciousness, the interconnectedness of all who are. Thus, synergy is created. We pause for a moment to send out positive energy to those in need. We recognize the power of gratitude and deliberate intent. Like attracts like, and the like that we positively intend is the like that we invite and the sum that we receive. We pause for a moment of silence to calibrate our intent to send positive and deliberate intent out into the universe in harmony with our own unique purpose so that it may return to us in due time. As the fire of the flame burns before us, so too burns the flame of our passion for doing right, and the fire in our soul to immerse all that is in the light of our positive intent and universal consciousness. May the fire of our essence burn brightly to the higher good of all who are.
The fires for life burn deeply within, joined with the universe, and creations begin. Brightly shining, new thoughts akin, and so it is, the light within, and so it is.
With the quenching of the flame, we affirm the transference of its symbolic light, warmth, and energy to empower the spirit within us as a beacon of light, a cynosure, shining brightly upon the world in the strength of do no harm and do right. We make it so, and so it is. The flame is transferred. This completes the rite of cynosure for the Northern Solstice. We thank you for joining us in this ceremony. Please join us for our next ceremony on or about the September equinox. It will certainly be posted in the on the website and elsewhere through Twitter and Facebook and so forth. So hopefully the words in this ceremony got you thinking. Recalibrate, restore, you know, reorder things, and not to forget the light that is within each one of us, the light that is within you, to shine brightly, to make a difference in this world. You know, it can get discouraging at times. People can discourage you. Life can discourage you. Don't let life do that to you. Don't let anyone take that beautiful light inside you away, or to dim it, diminish it in any way. Allow it to shine brightly. Know who you are and why you are who you are, and continue to shine brightly so that you are among those who are the solution instead of the problem.
You know, it's simple to ask that you have people in your life who vibrate to your similar frequency. You know, it's like attract the vibrational level of others that resonate with you. And that's a good place to start. And that we're always going to encounter people and things and stuff we don't like, and it's everywhere in the world. But, you know, to always go back to deep within your own light and checking in and not to allow yourself to falter. Because we're all human, Doug. You know, we're all just people trying to get through it and aspire to our heart of hearts.
Yes, well put. So hopefully you found some solace and encouragement, you know, in the ceremony. Just hang in there. If you're going through a tough time, we've sent out positive intent, positive energy to you. You know, hang in there. It doesn't last forever. And if you're doing well and things are going, cooking along well, you know, send out that gratitude to the universe and pay it forward. Help those when you can.
And just know that Pat Robertson is old.
Yeah. Well, he'll be sure be in for an awakening when he crosses the veil.
He sure will, you know, and that's just it. We all do. So answer to our souls, not the words of other people. That's the key, is answer to your heart of hearts and just decipher, you know, with some, hopefully some good critical thinking. And, you know, I encourage people to check with mchschurch.org, reread the 9 principles of belief, and they'll resonate with you because they're just very grounded, sensible principles that at some level we all agree with.
Yes, indeed. So next week, we intend to have a special guest. We will announce that on the website as soon as that is set. And gosh, we just have one more show in June, and then we're into July already. So anyway, hopefully you've enjoyed this program as well as the archives. We appreciate the time you've taken to be with us tonight on the live program, just listening to the archive. We hope that you'll tell others about it, tell others about Metaphysics Institute. If you're not yet a student and you have a desire, go check it out. We'd love to have you as part of that. If you are interested in what MCHS Church does, just, and you're not a member, please join. It's free. And we're developing the church more and more all the time. We've got a lot of stuff coming up and in store for it. We're working on a monthly journal or newsletter, and that'll slated to come out around August 1st, so stay in touch for that, or keep it tuned for that.
And we're on Twitter.
Yeah.
Don't forget, we're Twittering now, thanks to Dan Jacobs, our social media.
Polsky, yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. Yes.
Wonski. And so, yeah, he's doing a great job. So if you like some positive, inspiring thoughts, listen, you can find that information on mchschurch.org. Look on the right sidebar, scroll down. It's also on the Metaphysics Institute site. Anyway, again, thanks so much, everyone. We appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us. Next week, be sure to listen, think, grow, live, learn, and all that stuff in whatever order you want. We appreciate you. Have a great week.
Good night, everybody.